We're going to start Book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 1.
In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying.
Now, when we read this, Haggai is the prophet. Haggai means my feast, or God's feast, or Jehovah's feast. Haggai was born in the Feast of Tabernacle. Maybe that's why their parents named him Feast. Somebody was born in time of hurricane. Their mother named that boy Hurricane. And so his name is Feast, and God says it's my feast. If you remember, we were reading in the book of Amos that they are going to go to captivity. Now, they were already in captivity in Babylon. Almost now 70 years passed. And God said, I'm going to deliver you from there after 70 years. Just like the people of God, they were in Egypt. And God said to Abraham, after 400 years, I'll bring your people out of Egypt. And exactly 430 years later, Israeli people came out. Now, this prophecy was given by Isaiah and Jeremiah, Zechariah, and some different prophets. And so here we see the prophecy is going to fulfill. But the children of Israel, maybe they're counting the days and hours, and they might be thinking, if God told the children of Israel from Egypt, I'll bring you out after 400 years, and 400 years passed, still they were still there. So why is so hurry? Let's read a couple of verses to find out what God's plan was for these people. Read this, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 and 11.
For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Now, God is saying, I always think good about you, and I always want you people to prosper us. But now they're in the enemy's land. God is going to deliver them from that land. Go to the 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 22 and 23.
Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up.
And he is inspired by God. And we just read the prophet Jeremiah prophesied. And now here we're reading in the 2 Chronicles is saying the Jeremiah's prophecy is fulfilling. Go to the book of Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1.
Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying.
Read in the same book, chapter 5, verse 17. Ezra 5:17.
Now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so, that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter.
Can you imagine, before this king came, God prophesied through the prophet? Let's go back to the book of Haggai, because we just said what the Lord says, and we stopped it there. Verse 2.
Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built.
Now here the Lord is telling Haggai the prophet, go and tell these people, you are saying the time is not yet come. and you are delaying to build the temple. And so he is trying to say the God has already inspired the heathen king, and when he wants to build the temple for us, we should take advantage. God can use anybody to help us. Now the king is already gave the decree, but still the Israeli people are lazy and they do not want to build the house of God. So here the Haggai comes and tells these people, why are you saying this? God is saying, why are you delaying? And why are you saying that time is not yet come and we will wait and you are not building the house? Verse 3.
Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Now here the word of God is saying, is it good for you to live in the luxurious house? You remember how these people were building their houses, so fancy houses. They will use the cedar, they will make the house very strong. And that's the way you are building your houses. Because the man says now, the king says you can go to your country, build the house, and he made the decree. And you taking advantage, instead of building the house of God, you are building your own houses and living in luxury. So he says, think about it. What you're doing is right. Your ways are right, or God's ways are right. Sometimes we always think selfishly. We never think about God. We never think about godly thing. We always think about us. There was a man who used to pray, God bless me, bless my wife, bless my children, and bless my dog. Amen. So that's the way the prayer people do. It's a selfish prayer. When you're praying with the interceding. Pray for others. Other people have a need. So you think about, if you're hurting, you pray that there is somebody's hurting, I'm going to pray for that person. Job prayed for his friend, and then God delivered him after he prayed. He would have said, I'm not going to pray. They're making fun of me, and I'm already suffering. Why don't you heal me? So I will be a testimony to those people. God healed me, so God can heal you too. But God says, you pray first, and then I will deliver you. So this is the message. The word of God says, first do the Lord's thing. The word of God says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all other things you're looking for, he will give it to you. God wants to give you everything. We just read in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. He says, my thoughts about you are good. I don't want to harm you. I don't want to destroy you. I want to build you. I want to bless you. So God is always there to help you. But we are selfishly thinking that we don't have time for God. Some people say, oh no, I want one job and two job and three job because I don't have enough money. You'll be reading in this. He said, you make money, but you are putting in the pocket, you are putting in the bag, there is a hole. So God wants us to be blessed. God doesn't live in hand-made temple. That's the true thing. But at the same time, God gave them the rules and regulations and told them to do the sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. If there is no temple, if there is no tabernacle, there won't be any sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice, their sins won't be forgiven. So this was the rule and regulation God gave it to them, so they have to obey it. Now today, there are so many people are teaching, or some scholars, they are saying, go and check the history. Check the history in the Bible. There was no church built by any minister. Paul or Peter or John, they never built the temple. And they say, what did they do? Oh, they went to the synagogue. And they went to synagogue and they preached there and they did not build the temple. So that's why Messianic Jew, they still go to the, what do you call, the synagogue. But that's not the God's will. They were sitting in their houses and praying in their houses. So why can we sit in our houses and pray in our houses? We don't have to go to church. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. What the word of God is saying.
not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
As you see the day approaching, what day? Jesus Christ is coming. So he says, go to church, encourage one another, help one another, sing, praise God, and help one another, and go to church. Can you do something like that in somebody's house without invitation? Go and say, oh, God told me to come and pray with you. Say, I didn't invite you. And so people say, okay, then let's family gather together and pray. We don't have to go to church. But here the word of God is saying, you should go to church. You should gather together. You should pray. And you should assemble together. That's the will of God. And so you cannot take the foundation of the church and people were not going to church, so we should not go. At that time, there was a persecution. They were not allowing people to gather. The China and Russia, they were doing the same thing. And still there are some countries, Muslim countries, they don't allow you to gather together. So what the people are doing, they are worshiping underground or in their houses. But as long as we have freedom, we should go to church. But now there is a different law in America. You cannot worship in your house. You can pray, but you cannot invite somebody. And if you start praying in your house, they said, you're making a church. And church cannot be in the residential area. There is a law now. So you have to have a commercial building, government license to run the churches. If you are running the church without the license, they will fine you and they will even put you in a jail. So the point I'm making, hear the word of God saying, things your way. You are thinking about your ways and you are not thinking God's way. God tried to say to Moses, build the tabernacle according to the God's plan. And the tabernacle, he says, I'm giving you all the measurement according to heavenly pattern. But just think, if there is a pattern in heaven, and so they use the word tabernacle. Actually, in the heaven, there is no tabernacle, there is a temple. And so God gave him the measurement according to the temple. Then somebody says tabernacle was so small, heavenly temple will be the same way. No, it's like a scale. If you make some kind of model, you have a big building, and some building in front of you, they have small model of that building. So they take the same measurement, but reduce it to smaller scale. So God told Moses, this is the way the tabernacle or the temple is in heaven. Now, so many people, when they read the Bible and they go to the Revelation chapter 21 and they say there was no temple in heaven, Jesus Christ is the temple. And then some people say, oh, then what happened to the temple? Temple is not going to disappear. Temple will be there all the time. The temple is the one where God lives and the people come to worship the Lord. If you read the Revelation chapter 7, all these martyrs, they came from the great tribulation and they were standing in front of the temple and worshiping the Lord. And then here we read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he says, you, means the church, will be the pillar. And what the church will be doing? Church will be going into the temple and working as a priest. Jesus Christ is called the high priest. So now people do not know how the heaven is all about. They are in the narrow-minded. They read the one chapter and they forget everything. So there is a heaven and there is a temple in heaven and there is the blood of Jesus Christ kept in that heaven. The word of God says in book of Hebrews, he took his own blood and entered into the most holy place, that is heaven. So do you think that God is going to throw his blood away? That will be there for eternity. And so that temple in heaven is forever. And then what happens in the Jerusalem? Jerusalem is called the capital of all heaven. So there will be ruling will be done. Jesus Christ will be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we will be the kings. When Jesus Christ sits on the throne, he said, in my right hand, all the church, all these people will be sitting on my throne. So when the judgment is given, now when you go for worship, we go to the temple. And the Father will be in the temple also. And then Jesus Christ will be the high priest. And we will be assisting him as a priest. So this is, keep in your mind. So there is a temple in heaven. It's not going to disappear. It will be there all the time. That's why God told the Moses, make it the pattern according to the heavenly temple or heavenly tabernacle. David wanted to build the house of God, but Nathan comes and said, hey, you want to build the house? That's a good idea. Let's go and build it. Before he goes there, he says, hey, come here. What did you tell David? Build the temple? Did I tell you to tell him? What happens? Sometimes prophets, they can make a mistake. Looking at somebody's face, they just say something good. But it should be from the mouth of God. You cannot just tell, God told me this. So there are so many people come to your house and say, God told me this and God told me that. God didn't tell them. They're just making it up. If God really tell you, that it should come to pass. If God didn't tell you, it will never come to pass. And if it doesn't come pass, then it was not from the Lord. And so God told Nathan, go back and tell him. And then he might be saying, Lord, why are you telling me not to do it? Then he said, okay, let me tell you. You shed the innocent blood. Uriah was an innocent man. And there were so many villages he was going and destroying the people. You remember the Saul said, give me hundreds, foreskins of people, so I will give my daughter. How many he bought? He bought 200. So he killed innocent people for nothing. And so God says, you are not a fit to build the temple, then your son will be doing it. But the point I'm making, God doesn't have to live in the handmade temple. He said it before and he repeated twice in the New Testament. Once we just read it, book of Acts, Stephen said it. And if you read in a book of Acts chapter 17 verse 24, the Paul said it. So he said God doesn't live in the handmade temple. That's why even though we have this building, this is not the where God lives. God lives in our heart. But in those days, their heart was not prepared. Because Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and washed away our filth and cleansed this filthy temple. And that's why we invited Jesus Christ into our heart. And now he becomes our God and lives in our temple. And then Jesus said, I'll bring my Father also. That is in St. John chapter 14, verse 23. He said, I'll bring my Father and we will come and make our home in you. So once we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God the Father, God the Son comes to dwell in this temple. Okay, let's go back to the book of Haggai, chapter 1 and verse 8.
Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord.
Now he says, go to the mountains and bring the wood. This is not a firewood. Go to the mountain and bring the cedar logs. Big tree. Cut it and make a log and make a temple. It's not a firewood. And so he said, go to the mountain and bring the logs, build the temple. And he said, I will take pleasure in it. That means when you build the temple for me, I will be so happy that you are coming and worshiping in that temple. And he says, God's glory will be there. And so when you come to church, you praise the Lord and glorify God. We see the God's presence in the church. And sometimes people say, oh, church is the one place where the God lives. God doesn't live in this church. He lives in our heart. But when the people gather together, it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, it says, two people agree touching anything, I will hear the prayer from heaven. And when two or three people gather together, that is in verse 20, they said, I'll be in their midst. Please read.
Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
See, we don't need 3,000 people to gather for the God's presence. Two people, husband and wife, agree together, pray together, many miracles will happen. And the three people get gathered together, God's presence will be there. So that's why it's very important, come to church and you feel the presence of God. The word of God saying, you need my presence. And my presence will be there, my glory will be there, and that's why we call people to come to church and be blessed. Okay, let's go back to the Haggai chapter 1, verse 9.
Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts?
Now he's saying, you planted and did not come fully what you wanted. Got little. And you gather everything. Do you know how much labor you have to do in the farm to get something? And you bought everything with the sweating and everything and put it in the house or in your front yard or wherever. And the hurricane comes, blow everything out, and you don't have anything. So that's the curse. You gather so much, but God is not in it. Okay, read the words 10 and 11.
I didn't finish 9, actually. Okay. You interrupted 9.
Go from 9 to 11.
Okay. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands.
Now see, why this happened, he says, because of my house, because you don't go to church, because you don't give a tithe, all the problem is happening. People are saying, I earned a lot of money. What happened? I have 3 jobs. Nothing happening. I bring so many things to my house and it's not there. Because he says, because you don't build my house. You are not concerning about my house. So we have to concern about the church. There are some church members here. They go to shopping and they think about church. And they bring some stuff to the church. There are people thinking about the church all the time. And there are some people are thinking, what Sunday I should not go to church? They are planning not to go to church. Some people say a 4th Sunday will be the good Sunday because that time I didn't have any money to give tithe, so I would stay home. This is what people are thinking. So he's saying, this is what I'm coming and blowing off everything and you don't have anything. Not only you, but all your cattle and all your animals and everything having problem. Not only you. Why? Because it's cursed. Go to the Deuteronomy chapter 28 and start reading from verse 38 to 40.
Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit.
See, he says you bring so much seed and sowing, but you don't get the full crop. All you plant, the plants of fruit is not coming. Everything what you're doing and against is happening. Why? Because you are not thinking about God. You are not thinking about the God's work. You are not thinking about the temple. You are thinking about yourself. That's why it's not happening. He says, I'm the one stopping the rain. I'm the one stopping the dew from heaven. God has the power to do it. If you read in Leviticus chapter 26, verse 19.
And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass.
Can you imagine? He said, I will make the heaven like iron and your ground like brass. So what would happen? If the heaven is iron, nothing will drop from there, everything sealed. And if you say, okay, then I'm going to make a well on the ground. the ground is already like a brass. So you both way you lose. If God is in it, then the water will come from the ground and water can come from the heaven and God will prosper. I saw one African, I'll give two examples. One African man called me, he says, Pastor Peter, we do not have rain. Now, this is not unusual for Africa, all the time they have a problem. So I gave him the story. I said, I went to one state and they had no rain. And the man had lots of land, 500 acre land, and horses and cows. And they said, Pastor Peter, why don't you pray? We do not have the rain. And so I said, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to come such and such a day to your house. We are going to pray. And so I went there. I prepared the song and went there. And I told these people, could you bring all the clothes and everything drying or keeping out, bring it in? They said, for what? We are praying for rain. So they brought everything in, and I prayed and I sang the song. Before I can finish, pouring rain. I said to this man, send an email, and he got faith. And I prayed, and the following time he wrote me an email. He said, Pastor Peter, your prayer worked, and we had the rain. And said, there is another story. They had a village, and those people came to the Lord, and they gave their heart to the Lord, and God blessed them. The rain came on time and everything. A neighboring village, no rain. Both villages, no rain. But the village who came to God, they had the rain. So God says, I can stop it, and I can give it to you. When you are pleasing me, then I will supply your needs. Okay, let's go back to the Haggai chapter 1, verse 12.
Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord.
See, when the Haggai, as well as Zechariah, and other prophet, they told them, but when the Haggai tried to convince these people, what you're doing is not right. Sometimes you feel bad if somebody tells you you're doing wrong. But the man of God who is really not looking at people's face and tell the truth, that's the person can tell the truth. Other people, even though God gives them the message to tell, they are afraid to tell. Here the man of God is trying to say, the Zerubbabel is the governor, and the Joshua is the high priest, and all the remnant, he says. Remnant means people who are left alive. Most of the people, the Jewish people, were killed. And so he is saying, now you better hearken to the voice of God. Obey God so God can bless. And all of these people said, okay, we are going to obey. And when they said, we are going to obey, then that means they're listening to the word of God as well as they are listening to God's message. Read the Ezra chapter 5 verse 1 and 2.
Then the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Josedek, and began to build the house of God which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them.
See, here in book of Haggai says Haggai was encouraging them. But Ezra said there was a man, Zechariah, also helping these people and encouraging people. So these two prophets got together and in unity and tried to tell the children of Israel, you better listen to us. You better listen to the man of God. We have a golden opportunity, and let's build the temple. And those people said, okay, we are going to obey you. We are going to obey God. When the people start obeying God, God is pleased. Let's read the verse 13. Haggai chapter 1, verse 13.
Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord.
Now, what is the message here? Very simple. God is saying, I am with you. I will be with you. If God is with you, then nobody can against you. You have to be majority with God. But if you have thousands of people with you and there is no God in it, it's wasted. But if you have one person and there is another person is believing the same thing. You remember in Amos chapter 3 verse 3 it says, how can two people walk together unless they agree? If God is not in it, it will not be blessed. So God has to be with you. If there is no miracle, there is no signs, there is no wonders, there is no God's presence. So here is saying, I am with you. That is the very helpful to you to know God is with me. If God is not with you, then everything what you do is failing. You remember the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 31, what it says? It says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So God has to be for you. Means God has to be with you. God has to approve what you're doing. If God doesn't approve what you're doing, then God will be not with you. If God is not with you, then whatever you do is not successful. We said just read here, he says, you're planting the vineyard, you're doing everything, but it's not happening. And even though you gather together, I blow on it, and it's gone. And so your labors are gone. Why God is doing this? God doesn't care about it? No. God says, if you don't listen to me, if you read the Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 13, all the blessings come. And he says, why these blessings are coming? There is a reason. He said, if you hearken to the voice of God, if you obey my commandment, then all this blessing comes. Then you start reading from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. He says, if you don't obey me, all the curses will come. All the curses, if you start reading, you will be so scared. God's curse comes on people when they don't obey God, when they don't listen to God. So here he's saying, if you obey me, I'll be pleased with you. And I'll be with you all the time. When Jesus Christ was going to heaven, he gathered his people together. And what did he say? He gave the commandment, go, preach the gospel, teach them, make them my disciples. And what? Verse 20, lo, I'll be with you until the end of the age. So you don't have to worry. When we go to preach the gospel, I believe God is with me. So the point I'm making, God does miracles. God's presence has to be with you. When God is with you, nobody can against you. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
See, you should not be having covetousness, having your own agenda, then God will not bless you. You have to have a clear conscience in your heart. Then God says, then I'll be with you, and I'll not forsake you, and I will supply your needs. So what we need God's presence in our life. Okay, let's go back to Haggai chapter 1 and start reading from verse 14.
And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God. In the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king.
The Zerubbabel, the governor, the high priest, and all the children of God, they all came to unity and they said, we will do the work. And they did the work and they start working for the temple. And there was a God's blessing. When these two chapters finishes, we will go into the another book and we will learn more in detail about this. So our God is a miracle working God. If God is not with us, We cannot do anything. If God is with you, then he will do all things. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are unchangeable God. There are so many people having sickness, disease, and problems. When they come to church, they come to the presence of God. When they take the communion, they believe in Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for them. There is a power in the blood of Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus Christ broke his body on the cross, and with his stripes we are healed. So we see miracles happening in our church all the time. We give you glory, honor, and praise to your holy name. Bless your people and use each and every one of them for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray and we call it done. Amen and amen. Please be seated.